Welcome to Diving Into Writing with me, Lucinda Pebray, and Marielle Smith. Join us on our writing journey. Good evening, Marielle. How are you?
Hi, Lou. I'm good. How are you? Just really, this is my last day before break. I have one more working day tomorrow, and then there's going to be break for 2 weeks or so. I have one little project in between that I promised to finish before the new year, but the rest is just going to be me and my writing time.
What does a break mean? I know that's not what we're talking about, but what does a break mean to you? Does that mean that you're going to work on your fiction?
Well, yeah, mostly, unless there's something else basically means that I work on my writing, but I do want to focus on my fiction
for this. To some people, a break means like doing nothing or sitting on the beach or, yeah.
Well, it's winter.
Well, yes, okay, shopping. We can't do any of those things anyway, can we?
No.
But I wouldn't normally. The reason I asked you that question was because I've also only got tomorrow at the day job, and then we're off, and I will be doing the same.
Yes, because that's I know that when you say you go for a break, and we talked about this before, is that like when you have a break, you're like, oh great, I can finally focus on my writing.
Yes. I don't know how normal that is.
Yeah, that's probably something we have to discuss at some point. But today we're going to talk about what it means to be writing every day, like what it means to be
exercising.
How do you say that?
Writing,
yeah, exercising. Yeah, I completely lost the word exercising. That's how much in need of a break I am. Well, like you, I've also had meetings today, and it's not over yet. So.
You don't write every day, or do you write every day?
Well, that depends on our definition.
Yes, we've defined it before, haven't we? And I think it's a very personal thing, what it means to an individual. And there isn't a right or wrong way of doing things, first of all. but there's what works for individuals. What works for me is writing every day, and if I don't write every day, I do quickly lose that connection to the story.
Yeah, I do get that, and I have that as well. So what you're saying, when you say, because I do think this is a very personal thing, but I think it's really good for every individual to know what it means for them to actually have that defined. So when you say I write every day, you mean I write fiction every day, or I work on a particular project every day. Did I get that right?
Yes. It generally means that I write fiction, unless there's a lot of personal stuff going off and I can't concentrate on the fiction, in which case it would be more journaling. But I don't keep that. I don't keep any of my journaling.
So it's just like, is it like the morning pages idea?
Yeah, I've never done morning pages, and I've never done journaling regularly. But sometimes, when you're going through a traumatic time, I write to understand what I'm feeling. So it's like therapy, I suppose.
Yeah. No, there's power in that. So that, would you consider that writing?
Yes, I would, yes.
Okay. But that's good to know, because, if that is writing, right? If that is exercising the writing muscle, then yes, I would say that I write every day, because I journal most days. And I am usually working on some kind of project. So yeah, I can I will be behind a screen typing something or with my notebook writing down something.
I think it's about moving things forward or moving. It's something to do. I'm trying to define it for myself now. It's something to do with creativity. And I think journaling has an element of that. And it's something to do with moving the project or create something to do with creativity forward.
I like that. Yeah, because actually that is, I have this discussion a lot, right? Like, what does it mean to be writing every day? And I have it a lot with my clients and also in my Facebook group, the Accountable Wordsmiths, it also shows up that people are sort of like beating themselves over the head because I was going to write every day and I didn't. Or when they say, when I'm like, okay, so what did you do today? Like, did you meet any of your goals? Did you get any writing done? They will go, no, I've been stuck all day emailing back and forth with the cover designer of my next book.
Mm.
And so my response to things like that, when people are beating themselves up, I'm always saying, oh, wait, so you were working on your project and you were moving it forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for me, that constitutes writing.
Yes. I'm not sure that for me it would, because it's that element of creativity as well. It's got to have that for me.
Yeah. But let's say you do have this back and forth with your cover designer. Is that not creative on your part?
I suppose it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Literally wondering out loud because that's, because I think especially for self-published authors, we get to do a lot of creativity also in the other parts of the job.
Yes, that's true.
Because even marketing.
Yes.
You can do that in a variety of ways.
Yeah.
But writing a newsletter can be a very creative part. Maybe not as fulfilling, maybe for some, but definitely not for me.
No, not me.
Right. So for me, that definitely, because that's also like, as you're also telling a story, for example, when you write a newsletter, you're still writing a story.
Yes, or using elements of your life, or explaining elements of your life, or trying to make your life sound interesting.
Yes,
and exciting. There's that. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, so, yes, I think
that's fiction writing. Right.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know that it fulfills me though.
No, it definitely doesn't fulfill me.
You know, like if you're journaling and you discover something, or if you're working on your fiction project and you complete a chapter or get to a certain place that you wanted to be at, that's really satisfying.
Yeah.
The other stuff is the stuff you have to do. So,
it's the stuff you have to do to actually make money.
Yes, yeah. And other people will feel differently about it, won't they? Some people will love it.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not a fan of newsletters, writing them.
No.
I used to blog a lot. And now I just quote unquote, I tend to do, like, what I do now to keep my blog going is I interview other authors about their process, the struggles, their favorite books, books on craft, stuff like that, because it's still helpful to my nonfiction audience.
Yes. And it gives you some structure and a plan
but having to come up with blogs every like 10 days that really got to me at some point.
Yeah. I would struggle with that. I often don't get a newsletter out every month.
I am trying. I at one point tried 2 times a week, and that's part of the lockdown. I managed that. But it's also a little bit, I always have so much going on.
Yeah.
That at some point I think I felt a little, I was putting so much in one, even if I did them twice a month, I had to put so much in them.
Yeah.
That I felt, and I'm like, but I cannot do a newsletter for every little thing.
Yeah. Because no, people also, wouldn't want that. I don't think.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out the best way to keep people updated and give them a little slice of my life on Cyprus.
Yeah.
So I haven't figured that out yet. That was one of my plans for 2020, figure out how to do a newsletter properly.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try again next year.
I think that we should start by doing a podcast on it.
An episode.
Yeah, because it'll make us, you know, drill down into what elements we need and why we're so resistant to it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's because it's the marketing. It's you have a newsletter in the hope that some people in your audience will love to buy your next book or the next thing that you're working on.
I'm just not convinced it's an effective use of my time, if I'm honest.
I think it very much depends on genre.
Yeah.
And on how many books you put out.
Yeah.
I think let's absolutely do an episode about that. I'm going to not so subtly bring us back to our current topic.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So for you, you're saying, even though I would say that the writing the newsletter is still being creative.
Yeah.
It's not creatively fulfilling.
It's not satisfying for me. I have this need to write or to connect to something, I suppose, which is usually the story. But if I'm journaling, it's a connection to something that's bigger than me, I would say.
Yeah, I recognize that.
So, and that's what I need. So doing something like a newsletter or writing something for work, because that's a constant, is not as satisfying, and I wouldn't class it as writing, as in creatively. But it is, like I say, it is just, I know it's just a personal thing.
Mm-hmm. So that kind of writing for you isn't writing every day, but would you say that is still exercising the writing muscle?
Yes, I would. I think I'm mixing up two elements here. There's the writing every day, that need to do it, and then there's exercising the writing muscle so that you, when you sit down to write, it comes a little easier. So there's those two elements. And I agree that it is the exercise, it meets the exercise element, it just doesn't necessarily meet the satisfying creativity, whatever it is that drives you to write.
The muse.
Yeah, but yeah, even if it's difficult though, even if it doesn't flow and it's a slog, there's something about doing it that is addictive, I suppose.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I know you know what I'm talking about. But not everyone's like that, are they? Some people literally do write to earn money.
That is true. Yeah, so there's a different drive there.
Mm. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. It's just...
No.
It's just I would do it even if I wasn't publishing.
Yeah, I get that. It's like it's you write because there's something inside of you and it needs to come out. And that's what I like when I don't write. So this so I don't work every day on my fiction novel, but although I'm done combing through all the scenes, like literally combing through and seeing what I have, so I can finally fix this story. What I find often now is that on the most random times, I have an idea, and that can come to me any, like, doesn't matter, like, well, not when I'm working, because then my mind's very focused on what I'm doing. But if I do the dishes, brush my teeth, start thinking of a grocery list, some idea might come to me, or some flash of a scene. So I have this notebook open now with a pen. Yeah. So I just know it's there. So even if I'm not behind my computer every day trying to figure this story out, I think my mind is on it.
Yes. And that's what I mean when I say connection to the story.
Yeah, because it is, I know, like, when I picked this story up, I hadn't looked at it for 18 months. And then, so what happened is I started doing the next draft without reading it first. So I started fixing things in chapters and then realizing that I had fixed them later on. So now I suddenly had the same event. So basically I had the same idea that you're writing, you're like, oh, this is how I fixed that. And then you write it down, then two chapters later you realize, oh, so the last time I worked on this, I had the exact same idea, just implemented it elsewhere.
Yeah.
So I already fixed this. Great. Now I can go back. But now I'm in the story.
Yeah.
And I don't want to lose it now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put it away for this amount of time.
I do, even though I write every day and strive to keep that connection to the story, I do sometimes lose it. And the only cure is to sit down for a good chunk of time and spend time on with that story for it to come back.
Yeah. Okay, so that's a good one to know, actually, that even if you're doing it, even if you do engage with it every day, that's not a guarantee. But that, it depends on what shows up in life. Like some things derail you more than others.
And the other thing is, do you ever get to boring bits, or you've kind of got to work through sections that you have to work through and you're like, this is really boring and I'll probably cut it from the novel.
Yes.
But you've kind of got to work through it anyway.
Yeah, because you do need to know what is there.
Yeah,
that you have to keep.
Yeah,
yeah. Because there will be some. I had it like I was nearing the end, and it was really, I think it was a really good sign that as I was nearing the end, I was going through it faster and faster, because that said a lot about the pace of the story itself. And then there was this chapter. Or a scene, actually a scene in a chapter, and it was like everything was like somebody just hit the brakes. And I just looked at the screen, I was like, this is not, like, we're in the third act. Like, why is everybody sitting around a table studying for exams? Like, this is, like, so I just wrote in my notebook, no, I'm going to kill this darling. So I basically picked out, okay, so what is the information that is shared here that is relevant for the plot? I wrote that down and I was like, the rest will go in the next draft.
Yes. Yeah.
Because it was ridiculous. It was like, I'm finally speeding up. She's like, my main character is finally figuring things out. Oh, but it's exam time. Well, now we're going to sit all of us together and just study.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. But it's funny how that when you're writing it, that doesn't always, I'm glad I had the distance now, because that scene has been in there forever, for quite a few drafts. And it's only now that I'm seeing new.
Yeah.
I can't really do that.
It's like when you're creating a new world or an element of a new world or a not even a new world. It can just be a new venue. And I find that I have to revisit it a few times in order to make it clear and unique. Otherwise, it just comes out as really boring and whitewashed walls. And do you know what I mean? And that is a slog. That feels like a slog to me to get to the point where it's good or good enough. And that's why I love editing, because you start off with something really mundane and you get to put some wallpaper up. Spark, yeah. And then it's only after you've revisited it a few times that you can pull out something unique or different.
Yeah. I do. Like, there's this, I know that in the indie world, it's very common to, I completely understand why people can pull it off. If you write full time and you publish so many books and you've been at it for a few years, that they really only need a few drafts. But I'm very much this, I don't know who said it, but somebody said that you only get to where it no longer looks like writing, like after the eighth draft or so. And I think I'm more like that.
Yes.
Like, I need a few to go over it a few times.
What am I trying to say? Sometimes you need to invest a lot into your characters, don't you, in order to get to know them. And I find that the second book in a series or the third book in a series is a lot easier because I know my characters and I know how they would behave. Whereas the first book, I've got to discard so much stuff because I don't yet know them, or I'll write them into situations that they wouldn't behave that way, if you see what I mean. I wonder as well, you know, when you're talking about indie publishing where they write lots and lots of novels, they know the characters because they're following the same characters, aren't they, quite often?
Some of them, yeah. Like, they have, like, massive series.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then, of course, your setting is quite similar.
Yeah.
I remember writing that with the romance that I did. That I co-wrote, figuring out the first book was a real hassle. Mm. But even though the first book is set in Cyprus, the second book is set in Scotland, and the third book is set in Cyprus again. So the second book was still a little tricky because it was a different setting. But then still we knew the characters. And then the third book was the easiest to write because they were back in Cyprus. By the time I also lived in Cyprus.
Oh, that helps.
Yes. So when we started the series, I've only been like one or two times.
Yeah.
So that also helps.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's all those things, isn't it? I think at the moment my day job is interfering with my writing. I haven't got the space in my head to do it the justice that I need. But also I know that I'm coming up to a holiday, so I'm not fighting too hard either because I'm thinking I'll spend that time writing.
So would you say that your job is interfering with your writing in terms of time, that you like work extra hours? Or do you mean there's so much going on right now that you don't have the brain space?
Yeah, the second. There's so much going on that thinking about the things you should have done, need to do, or whatever, is there in my head. I'm quite good with the boundaries with work. I think we've talked about this before, haven't we?
Yes.
I mean, there are times when they do slip into my home life, but generally that's not what I want to do. So always having an eye on the bigger picture. It's a slippery slope, though. A lot of my colleagues are, you know, fall down that slippery slope of working when they should, when they're not getting paid for it. And
yeah, I know that slippery slope.
Yeah, it's not it's not a good place to go. Not and it, when you're trying to write as well.
Well, this is the thing, like especially if you do want to write on your project every day, you really need solid boundaries.
Yes.
Because it's difficult enough to carve out writing time. So if you do it, if you're able to carve out writing time every day, that means discipline and it means boundaries.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
So how many hours or minutes or whatever do you try to write every day? That's a variable, I'm guessing.
It's not hours, generally.
Okay. Hours and hours. No wonder the day job is cutting into it.
I don't write during my day job time because I just don't have time to do that. And I'd end up losing the plot on the day job. So it's before or after. And since we got Lily, it's after because she kind of needs that attention in the morning. And then in the evening, she's pretty chilled pooch. So we're all right. A big pillow's just fallen on her and she's just like looked at me and then gone back to sleep.
Just like no fucks left to give. So because I think for this is a question, of course, like some people could say, well, I write every day, but that's just 5 minutes. So my question is always, if you have 2 blocks of time to write every week, and these are 2-hour blocks or 3-hour blocks. Yeah. Why would 5 minutes every day be better than them?
Yeah, I don't think I'm not sure that it would be better in that case. I don't watch telly. I write instead of watching telly.
Okay.
So I suppose
I used to do that when I still lived in a house that had a telly.
Yeah, well I'd be quite happy not to have a telly. I suppose about an hour.
Okay.
But I don't have a minimum. I just have an expectation that when I've got some free time, I'll sit down and spend it working on my fiction and avoiding social media because that's my downfall.
I think it's a downfall for most of us. but does it, that means you just sit down and do you have a goal per session?
Sometimes, but sometimes, probably more often than not, I don't. I'll have a goal at the weekends when I haven't been working, but I'm a little kinder to myself during the week when I've been working. And the goal would be just to spend the time working because I'll get tired, you know, and then I'll go to sleep. So I do sleep early because I'm up early.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I generally don't have a goal during the week, but at the weekends I do. Or if I'm on a day off, I would have a goal of spending time more than. Well, no, that's not true. Sometimes I'll want to finish a chapter or start a chapter or plan a chapter out. So sometimes I do have goals around that rather than the actually sitting down for an hour or a period of time.
Yeah, so it depends very much on where you are in the story, what time you do have.
And my ability to concentrate as well, because I don't always have the ability to concentrate for a large period of time.
So let's say you just open your computer, you go to your story, and you just putter about a little bit, right? You look what you've read yesterday to see where you are in the story. You think about a few things. Maybe you make some notes. Would that still, if it's just one of those days that the writing itself doesn't flow, would you still consider that, yes, I've written today?
Yes, because I'm still connecting with the story.
And creatively, you have been, you are going forward.
Yes, yeah. Okay.
Because I think, I love that personally. Because sometimes that's exactly what you need. You just need to reread something.
Yeah.
And then just daydream about it for a little bit.
Yes. Yeah.
Let it find its way, like, in your head. And I think this is also one of those things that show up a lot of times in the indie publishing world. And don't get me wrong, like I mean, we both self-publish for a reason. We both love it.
Yeah.
I especially love the freedom. But it has become one of those rules that if you want to be successful, this is how you do it. And for a lot of people, that comes with, you either have to write 1,000 words, 3,000 words, 5,000 words a day.
Yeah.
So people have become very stuck to those kind of goals. And I personally track my time.
Yeah.
So once I start writing, for example, during NaNoWriMo, my goal was to work an hour a day on my novel, or 2 hours a day or something.
Mm.
Because I also knew I wasn't writing anything new. I was just going through, I was sort of unraveling what I had going on. So I just put my timer on, and I'm going to actually look at now, because I haven't checked what I did last month.
Okay.
So I'm going to look it up now. How many hours I actually spent. Okay, so 45 hours I spent on that particular project last month.
So that's a decent amount of time.
That's not bad. Yeah, it's not what I was going for, which was 60 hours. But I also had a lot of day job work last month.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then something needs to give, and that is often, well, since I like paying bills, I kind of appreciate being able to afford living.
Yeah.
It does, but I'm still very happy, because that is the most amount of hours that I've put on in that project for a long time.
You see, I did NaNo, as you know, for the first time, and
yes,
did 20,000 words, which was, then we got adopted Lily and actually she just came in like a freight train and disrupted everything. But that was okay, because there was a reason for it, and I didn't mind that. Also, I can't, you know, when people, I mean, the purpose of NaNo is just to get the words down, but I don't write like that. So the words I write are quality words. I'm not saying perfect. They'll still need some editing, but the story's there and the general.
Because I've done it once. I've once did a NaNo where I had like my outline, and I was just these words. So yes, the story is there. When I look back, I use all the same words. Like, there is no variety in my vocab. It's very static.
Mm.
So yeah, it is my worst first drafting in NaNoWriMo.
Yeah. I don't write bad first drafts. That's the other thing.
I'm pretty sure I do. But I'm really good at second drafts.
And again, there isn't a wrong right or wrong way, is there?
Yeah.
It's just that, and you know, at the end of NaNo, so 20,000 words, but they're decent words that I won't have to do masses to, which is wonderful. So I was quite happy with that.
Yeah, and you should be, because I think for many people, NaNoWriMo is just sort of like vomiting the words out, you know, in December, you're going to sort of like sift through it, which is fine because I think Nana works really well for people who've always wanted to write, but they're afraid to commit. So I know so many published authors now whose first book or first like serious attempt at writing was NaNoWriMo. So I think it really helps to sort of like get over that threshold.
Yeah. And I don't know whether I should aspire to do that at some stage, you know, just to, because you have to try different ways to really know what works for you. And I haven't ever done it. So I don't know whether I need to try it or whether I just need to accept that the way I write works. So why change it?
This is the thing, like if it ain't broke, why fix it?
Yeah.
But then again, something doesn't have to be broken in order to be upgraded.
Yeah, or find a better way.
Yeah, like fine-tuned or whatever. Yeah. So I do one day want to do a NaNo again when I am actually working on new words.
Yeah.
But I'll probably just try to take the month off or so.
Yeah, and maybe not wait while November to do it. Because the reason I did it was it fell at the right time for me. But I would like to do it again.
There's three NaNoWriMo moments in the year.
Okay.
The official one is November, and the goal for November is the 50,000 words. So that is, speaking of writing every day, 1,667 words a day. That's the November one. But there's two camps, NaNoWriMo, and those are in April and July. And there you can basically set your goals to whatever. So there you can actually say, this month I'm dedicating 30 hours to my novel. And you can write that in. Or you can say, what am I doing? Am I first drafting? Am I editing?
Yeah.
So it's more flexible. So you have the original one, and then the camps are more... Oh, so I have a 140,000 novel, word novel. I want to revise the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I once did Camp NaNoWriMo, and I had the book. So that was like the second draft of this thing I'm working on. I had the book printed. I had it beta read, and I went through it, like through all the comments. So I went through the entire manuscript in paper with a pen. And then during NaNo, I had the book beside me and I was looking at Scrivener and I was making my changes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you can actually set a goal that works for the project that you're working on. Yeah. And you can also say, I just want to write 20,000 words or 10,000 words, or I want to write 8 poems, basically.
Yeah.
Which I look quite like.
I would like to do the vomiting trash, vomiting words, whatever, just to try it. But I haven't got any scope next year.
Okay. But what you should, like this, so this is for me what helps is actually write with a timer. So write in like 20 or 25 minutes slots.
Yeah,
that really helps.
I have got a timer that my mother-in-law bought me for cooking. That I use for writing. It's a snowman.
Well, use the snow, because when I hear the timer, I see the timer, that's when I start to speed up.
Yeah. I could try that. I have done it a few times, you know, when I've got stuck and said, right, 20 minutes, just write.
Yeah, that always helps, right, to get started.
Yeah. And it has worked. I just haven't done it for a while.
Well, maybe you haven't gotten stuck because you write every day.
Hey, maybe. Shall we leave it there?
Yes.
And go and get some tea?
I was actually thinking of making some hot chocolate.
I meant food tea, but...
Oh, yes, you British folk. Yes.
Yeah, it's a cultural thing.
I thought the Scottish only said that.
No.
Enjoy your tea.
Bye.
Bye.
thank you for listening. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit our website at divingintowriting.com. We'd love to hear from you, and if you'd like to leave us a review, we'd be ever so grateful. Bye for now.